Hello, can you hear me? Hello, is somebody out there? Anybody hear me? This is Daryl the Dude calling from Norway, live from Norway. It's Friday morning here, and everything is super hunky-dory, you know.
What is going on?
Just a couple of young dudes hanging out, having a little fun, you know. Some having a little bit more fun than the other at the moment.
Ooh-wee. Saturday, I went to the UFC at the Scotiabank Arena.
Ooh, that must have been fun.
Okay, and so every, like, 15 minutes, it was just like, F Trudeau, F Trudeau.
Sure.
When they couldn't figure out what to yell, like, you know, if it's not ole, 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 it was just F Trudeau. And yeah, the whole crowd was doing it. Like, it
for
was,
sure.
I think the Scotiabank Arena is something like 17,000, roughly, and it was definitely at least 10,000 people who were yelling that. And apparently Trudeau's son was in the box. I think he was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what his family must think all the time, right? Where everywhere he goes, people are throwing shit at him and telling him he's an asshole and that he's ruined their lives and that he's fucked up Canada.
Hey there, how you doing?
Shaking your hand, bro. You're a piece of shit, man.
Why is that, sir? You fucked up the entire country.
I've been waiting to lie down the road for 30 minutes while you've been here soaking up the rain.
And then you
got... I think that's a par for the course.
I don't think this is par for the course. I don't remember anybody being hated this much by, like, who likes this guy, honestly, other than Chrystia Freeland and that crazies at the World Economic Forum.
People like him. They voted for him, you know? Somebody's going to vote for him again when the time comes. I'm sure there's people who come up to his son and tell them how much they love him and his grandfather and everybody else. They're probably Trudeau fans.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
We
love
social
your grandfather.
Media right now is very loud.
Your father, not so good, not so much. We could do without your father. Maybe you could kill him in his sleep for all of us, son.
I love all the Fidel Castro, like
it is
stuff
so
like that
true. About... Okay, it is so true. Have you seen this stuff? First
the
of
pictures
all,
are like
he looks
similar.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
Listen, we're not here to make any assumptions, right?
We are here to make complete claims.
You just have the same eyes, nose, cheekbones, jaw structure, teeth, lips, and
facts. They look exactly the same. And if you see videos of Trudeau's mom back in the day and the way that she was kind of flirty with Fidel Castro, and, you know,
unacceptable.
Fidel Castro doesn't strike me as a guy who would carry around somebody else's son and let them puke on his shoulder while they're looking at missiles and, you know, planning strategic alliances with Canada. Like, what the hell's even going on here? This whole thing is just a bunch
it's
of crazy.
All big part of the plan.
He
had a 40-year plan.
Does
anyways,
this lead
real estate.
To, real estate? Or
okay, so we had some new episodes out there this week, guys. So we're doing some, like, live updates on some articles and different things. We got a few cool ideas. It's going to be
clips.
On the clips.
Live
clips. We're doing live clips. So it's on our clips channel. So if you've been, like, avoiding going to our clips channel and you're like, you know what, I just like the long form, I don't really care about those 5-minute clips, even though they're all gold. Now you might want to go check out that channel because we're actually doing live clips and they're not on the main channel.
Every Tuesday, every Thursday at 2:00, we are live for an undisclosed amount of time. So you got to get
in
there
quick. It could be 1, it could be 59, but there's only so many minutes.
It is a matter of minutes. And TK, so here we are. Speaking of a matter of minutes, and by the way, this will have nothing to do with the saying matter of minutes, but they held interest rates this week, TK.
Well,
what a segue. I wrote that one down beforehand.
Who called that other than, like, every human being on Earth?
But I mean, a lot of human beings on Earth all called that, like, they wouldn't have done what they did before. So
I know. But I even had somebody tell me that, like, I had a few clients actually tell me and be like, call me after they do the rate announcement. I'm like, what's going to change? Like, okay, let's do scenarios.
What's
going to
change?
Let's do
everything's
scenarios.
Changed.
Let's do scenarios. They announced this week that they're raising interest rates a quarter point. They announced this week that they are going to lower interest rates a quarter point.
They announced this week
that they stayed the same. How is that changing anything?
God, they raised. That means everything's going to end again. Now, everything's going to go crazy. I'll never be able to afford anything.
Right? But this is what I mean.
This is the answer to everything.
But the clients that are telling me this,
whichever way it goes,
they're just like, hey, maybe that news that's going to come out on, you know, Wednesday is going to be, you know, it's going to make me more money when I sell my home. So if I get that information, then it means that I'm going to be able to list right away. And you know what they do, Daryl, after you tell them the information, no matter what the information is, even if it is what they tell you that they want to do, they don't list.
They don't list. They don't list.
When
they
everybody was supposed to list back in January and February of 2022, mm-hmm. conversations we had with everybody were, it's crazy. It's insane. You would not believe how many, you know, multiple offers and buyers are out there and the price you can get for your home. And everyone was just like, I'm going to wait for a better time. I'm going to wait for something better to come around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now the market's going down and we've got a little flurry of buyers right now where there's not that much inventory. Things came off in December. It's a great opportunity to not have to compete. I'm saying 20, 30 offers out there. It's pretty crazy. And all the sellers are still saying, well, maybe the spring will be a little bit better. Maybe I can wait a little bit longer and, you know, get the pool open.
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe. I'm double subscribed. Do it yourself. Didn't get to fix the show, though.
Hey, everybody. Time to hit that subscribe button so that you can check out our content every week and you don't miss a beat.
Hey, ha. Hit the button. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What the hell's going on here?
Please subscribe. And,
well,
there are multiple digit offers on lots of houses all of a sudden, and people don't even believe it. If they don't live in Toronto, they're like, you're making this up, it can't be true, give me addresses, you fraud, you can't possibly be telling the truth. But it's like, all the realtors are saying bidding wars are like here right now. I don't know why and I don't know for how long, but they're here right now. But then people will say, yeah, there might be bidding wars, but like, the bids are under the asking price.
Some of them. But mainly what's important to understand is that the prices that are getting these bidding wars, generally speaking, are all very undervalued. So some, it's like a 1.1, like everything's selling for 1.1. You listed it at $899. You sold it for 1.1. Or you probably sold it for $1,050,000. And then you put out a flyer that said sold $150,000 over asking, and everybody got excited. You know, like, that's really what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing a major shift. I'm just sending you a text right now, Daryl, that you can go and take a look at. So this is, somebody posted this. Principal balance remaining, okay? Current, December 31st, 2023, $665,200. Prior, December 31st, 2022, $665,923. For this statement, principal paid $700. Interest paid $42,400.
Yeah.
1 year's of mortgage payments. So 42 yeah. grand in interest. They only paid off $700 of their principal.
Crazy.
Right?
Crazy.
That's what's going on out there. So
that's what's going on.
Even the stories that we're hearing are not.
But the
complete.
Numbers work. Right? The numbers are working.
Look at the bank is doing what they need to do, but the bank's getting their money. But the storylines that we're missing are all these ones here. They're not the people who have to sell. They're not the people who bought in 2022. They're not the people who are going power sale. They're not the people who are, you know, struggling in these type of ways that we all assume that there's so many people struggling. It's the people who are literally just paying a whole boatload of interest and spending any money on their principal, but not spending any money outside and into the economy. And how long can we do that for? The interest rates don't need to go back up, down, sideways. They just need to be anywhere close to where they are right now. The debt that everyone has is too high.
But how many people? Okay, so we waited for a while for them to hold rates, right? A lot of people were saying, like, please just hold rates. I mean, stop raising rates. This is killing everybody, right? Like, stop doing it. And then they did. And people went bananas. So they started raising again, right?
Yeah.
And then they paused and everybody didn't go crazy again. They stayed at the same level of crazy. And then they paused again and everybody was like, what does this mean? This must be good. This must be good. We should go in now. Maybe not. Well, let's wait one more time. Hold. we gotta go. We gotta buy stuff, right? And now after the fourth one, it feels like everybody, first of all, everybody, like you said, knew it was coming. So everybody started buying just before this, right? And now it's like pandemonium, lineups in Milton and lineups everywhere in Yorkdale, packed. The Yorkdale meter off the charts. Okay. So what difference does it make, apparently?
I think at the end of the day, it's really just going to be the job market, you know, like we're losing jobs. We got tech sector jobs losses. You got the Old Navy closing down at Eaton Center. You got people who are starting to lay people off in small businesses. You got 25% of SBA loans were not paid back, like 200,000 loans that were not paid back, which means 60 grand would be forgivable, or sorry, 20 grand would be forgivable. You pay back only 40. So you get basically a free $20,000. They don't have it though.
They don't have it to pay back. So they end up just with a loan that they thought that they'd be okay to pay back. We have Cody Tritter here from Calgary, Alberta, the one
setup on their guy.
This guy is a pro, man. Hey.
I appreciate you guys visiting the town to be here.
Yes, we
you know, the time zone was the same, right?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He is an absolute pro. He's got the social media presence like you wouldn't believe, TK. Guys like us would be YYC. Jealous.
That's it.
He is
branding, man.
A good brander. He is a marketer, that's for sure. And he's got great videos. He's got great content. He's got a ton of followers. And seems like a pretty cool guy, TK.
We're trying to expand, Cody. We get grief. Everyone says like Toronto, like we bring in a bunch of Toronto realtors. Who cares about Toronto? Tell us about other places. So we're like, all right, we're gonna listen to the people in the comments. And we tend to do that too often, probably. Yeah. And we're going to bring in some people from different places. So we got you from Calgary. I mean, give us a little background, you know, who you are, what you do, and what it's all about.
Yeah, man. Been in real estate for probably about 10 years in and out. Out of high school, I actually worked as an assistant for a realtor. Kind of got the ropes there, but then just went on a different path. Ended up going through college. And then eventually got back into real estate again. And I spun my wheels in there for, I don't know, say 3 months, just trying to do the, like, build out a website, build out business cards, all that garbage. And end up joining a team and kind of getting more like an understanding of what the business is really about. And then from there, I went into it with my business partner, Dusko, and we've just run a team for 5 years. And yeah.
So you got sold in the beginning. They try to sell realtors things. They're like, oh, you need this website. Oh, you need these pens. You need this. You need these hats. And if you don't have golf shirts with your name on it, you're not a realtor. You're not able to go out there and let people know about it. So like, did you buy into that in the beginning where you were just like spending money going, what am I doing here?
And the thing is, like, you don't know even like what the best route to go is, right? Because you have like $1,500 website options. You have $500 options. You have like, go and try and do it on your own options. And like, you need to understand like, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to achieve? What's the long-term, short-term, what's going to actually give you an ROI, right? So yeah.
I think it's funny from the non-realtors perspective, the shit that you guys spend money on and send people is absolutely insane. And I promise you, like wearing your team t-shirt, I mean, there's one person noticing it. Right. Yeah. It's like when you look in the mirror, I think nobody cares
speaking
about that stuff, but the best one. Yeah. Speaking of t-shirts, but the best one is when a guy with like a minivan, like a really crappy minivan, wraps it and puts his face all over it. That's my favorite because we all want to hire that guy for sure.
I had the magnets because back then the wrap was like a new thing, but I had the magnets. So I had all the magnets, and
crooked magnets
and all sorts of stuff. It was brutal until one day I went into a parking lot and I drove around the parking lot to do like a U-turn because I had to go in, turn around and come back. Right. And so I went in, there was like no anything. It was just a wide open parking lot. And I turned around and I came back in, did a big, huge circle. So I didn't have to like 3-point turn, use the brakes, whatever. So I drove out And next thing you know, my office calls me. They said, TK, you know, we just got a call saying you're doing donuts in a brand new asphalted parking lot in South Ajax. And I was like, what the hell? But that's what, like, they were upset because I guess they just paved it and I was driving on it. I don't really know. I definitely wasn't doing donuts. And they definitely had no signs out. And I took the magnets off my car. You know, I said, listen, I'm not going to drive magnets around and get any more of these phone calls. People telling me I'm doing donuts or not. Right. So anyways,
I got that was a big philosophy when we started our team was like, we didn't want to be, you know, our name and associates and something like that, because like it's for us, it's hard to like, it's hard to grow in that. And I think it's hard for agents. I mean, everyone gets in this industry to be like entrepreneurs on their own. And to, when you're joining a team, you want to be able to provide a bit of that. And if it's just your name, like if it's just Cody Tritter team, it's really hard for people to jump into the branding on it. So that's why we jumped more into the Rep YYC. So we're branding our city, but we're real estate partners, you know, and it's at least somewhat sexy for people to jump on and wear versus, you know, my name.
Sure. You got an opportunity in the beginning to brand yourself, and whether it's a name or a team name or whatever it is, like that's your chance. You're not going to do 10 years with Cody Tritter and then all of a sudden go rep YYC and think that that's going to be a great idea. So start with what makes sense. And I think I kind of agree with that. For a team starting out, you want to encourage people to be all on the same team working together. And it's not just like TK Butler, Glory fan base, you know, team. Then, you know, you're better off to just make a team that makes sense. And you got to build the brand, though. That's the thing. Name is your brand. Face is your brand.
And I think it's changed so much, too, right? Because, like, what a team was even 10 years ago versus, like, there weren't teams, like, 15 years ago. It was such a different dynamic then. And so, like, it made more sense to maybe have that, like, you know, that feel of, like, an associates and a group or bigger group like that. But now in the more, like, digital team space, the more – you know, the real brokers, the EXPs, where you've got the bigger silos and bigger teams, it's harder to brand it around one person versus like a bigger group within, you know?
Yeah. What brokerage are you with?
Real broker.
Real broker. That's the brokerage. Okay. And so you're talking about teams, like, and how they're growing and all that kind of stuff and different dynamics of it all. I mean, I think today the main thing really is that everybody can say they have a team. Everybody can say, you know, I got a team. I got, you know, this many people. You got individual agents or like me and my team. And it's like the admin at the office and all that kind of stuff. So like, what do you guys do that makes it so that people know that there's like a whole group of people who are all working together to, you know, service them and help them out?
Foundationally, I think like, it's kind of like, and I don't really knock people that have, you know, like a team really can be defined however that, like, it can be just a couple people and you know, and they can work throughout contractors. I can't say, like, because we have, you know, 5 full-time ISAs and a videographer and admin and paperwork, like, and like a listings team, I can't just be like, that's what a team is. So if you're not that, you know, you're not a team, right? So I think like it's okay for people to define a team, but I think like, you know, whether you're being upfront with your clients or when you're recruiting and bringing people onto your team, you need to be upfront about like what your team truly is, what you offer.
Yeah. Daryl's a part of my team, you know, Daryl's on my team. You know, I go, I'm going to talk to my development guy, you know, he's on our team. He's really making sure everything's going smoothly. You know, I'm not going to pay him anything or anything like that. Like, come on, don't get carried away.
I'm
just going to go get some free advice and then I'll bring it back to you.
That's right. And that's what I'm good for. But so you're in Calgary, which is the hot spot in the country right now. While everybody else is running for the hills they're running for are Calgary. Why the hell are they doing that? Because it's not even cheap anymore. And it's really fucking cold. And it's really far from, like, a lot of people from here are moving to Calgary, right? What the hell's going on here?
You know, I don't think it's that cold. I think there's times where it gets like awful and you got to get out of town in those periods.
Winter.
Yeah, like what? Yeah, like I November mean, yeah, yeah,
it's,
through
it's
literally,
it's just
April?
It's January, like the first bit of January and maybe a little bit of February. And then the rest is, you know, it's manageable. But it's like, we're friendly. It's a great, like I've traveled a lot of the world. I've traveled a lot of the U.S., it's a friendly city. It's changing a little bit, you know, as we grow quickly, but It's just, there's a lot of good people here and it's a great place to raise your family. Yeah, I think like the value, like as we climb up in price now, and get higher and higher, it is going to be harder for people to, you know, you're going to see the smaller areas like Lethbridge or Medicine Hat start to grow, and people move out of here to there. But value wise, we've been saying it for years now that like what you can sell your place in Ontario for, and then move out here and pick up, you know, you can be mortgage free almost and, you know, live a good life out here.
So are the people from Ontario moving, like the people that you're seeing, like they're moving out there, or is it a lot of just investors?
We're seeing a lot of people move. I mean, there are investors out here, obviously, you know, and like there's been some, we're seeing a lot more investors on like the speculative, like, you know, new builds, condos. And then we're getting like assignment sales from things like those kind of buyers. But excuse me, there's still a huge segment of people that are just, yeah, moving from Ontario and looking at the affordability there, seeing what they can sell their place for there and saying like, hey, this is, there's still opportunity out here. And it's, I, you know, I, if once you're out here for a bit, like it's not much different. There's not, you know, we don't have SeaWorld, but you know, there's still a lot to do. And if you're family focused and outdoor oriented, you can keep your plate full, you know?
Are you a real estate agent and you're looking to make a change? Anywhere in Ontario, guess what? We're hiring. Franklin & Associates, number one team in the GTA for all RE/MAX teams, number one team for all teams from all companies for number of units sold throughout Toronto. So if you're looking to make a change, best decision I ever made was to join Franklin & Associates. Go to jointeamleo.com and we can set up a call. So what are they, where do they work? Like, where does somebody from Ontario go?
Yeah,
what's the job there?
What's like, for
if you
work
don't have a cowboy
days.
Hat and you don't know how to drill for oil, what the heck do you do in Calgary?
Everybody's doing real estate now.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, it just depends what sector you're in, right? There's, I mean, even the movie industry is starting to boom out here where we've got, tons of studios coming out. I wouldn't say move
the snow planet
Alberta to become a, you know, a movie star, but you know, there's if like there's just there's opportunity out here. There's tons of labor. I mean, there's going to be always for anyone in the trades. There's going to be tons of opportunity here.
Mm. So all of our good tradesmen are going to move to Calgary.
Oh, great! Hopefully, all three of them. Hopefully. All three of them are going.
That's what
now.
We need. I have friends who are trying to get jobs in the trades, like guys who are kind of like looking at job changes. Some of them are in other trades. Some of them are younger, and so they're just getting started. And I'm talking to some of them and none of them are saying like, oh, I got all these great job offers. They're all saying the same thing. Like the union like hasn't got back to me. And like, I'm waiting for this, you know, to get done so that I can start my apprenticeship.
Certification.
Like they really need to speed that kind of stuff up, you know, like they really need to figure it out. Has Calgary figured that out? I don't know. This is all Ontario talk here.
I haven't heard that as much, but I think here, like, there's a shortage on it. And we're like a lot of the builders, even it's getting like the ability to get guys in and actually build up houses versus, you know, and getting the right guys in. So I think there's a lot of opportunity, but it's that level of like, you know, what your earning expectations are, right? Because like we have had insane times where people, you know, earn wages and they're not willing to go back to a, you know, a lower wage, but that's still like a great wage and a living wage, right? But yeah. It just, I think it's perspective for some people.
That oil money just deteriorates.
It's you know
what I mean? Like when
disintegrates.
When you taste that oil money and you go and you make like $2,000 working like a day and like, mm-hmm. you're just like, oh yeah. And then they go back to like $300, $400 a day work. It's just like, no,
it'll be depressing.
Unemployment insurance. I'm not doing this.
So let me ask you a question because this is all over the news. I don't know.
You joke about it, but I've heard guys say that. Like I've heard a lot of guys actually say that where it's like, they made too much money and now it's like, you know, not like, it's like, I'm not going to go work as a peasant again. And you're like,
I don't have that money like, anymore.
Like you got to change your perspective that like what you were making was like, you were the king and for no reason, but there was a lot of you, like there was hundreds and hundreds of kings all making great money. Come back to reality. And it's, you're not even peasants anymore. You're now like upper middle class guys, you know, you're,
you know,
still
we call those, you know, what we call those in Ontario. Realtors
broke.
Yeah, we call them realtors here.
Realtors,
you know, they get all this amazing opportunity in their life and everything else, and they have a couple good years, and you know, things change, markets change, whatever it is, And then they can't deal with that normal schedule, and they can't deal with that normal life. Yeah.
No. And then they can't afford anything that they used to be able to afford. That's the part that sucks. The rest of it. No. Right. It's just, oh God, I can't afford my Porsche anymore. And now she doesn't like me anymore, 'cause I can't afford all the gifts I was giving her and the flowers that I was sending her. And now my life is somebody else.
She's got another man in her life.
But it seems like I've read some news that, you know, the housing starts in Calgary are at a record pace right now, like of all time. And you guys can't keep up, like the amount of people that are moving there. It's like everywhere else on Earth right now, but definitely in Canada, that you're just being overrun by immigration. So do you notice a difference in the people around you on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely seeing a difference. But I think, like, it's the perspective too. Like, in my head, it's like one of our bigger builders, Qualico, like Streetside, that we work with, they, in my head, they should be able to build thousands of homes. They're a huge builder, tons of, you know, people under them. But when in reality, like, they're doing hundreds of homes a year, you know, like 400 homes is a good year, right? Yeah. And they're a higher end builder, right? And that's the same story, but there's not, like, you know, there's only a couple really big builders, and then there's just a bunch of smaller builders and developers out there. Like, then you factor in how many of them are just doing infills or redevelopment, and it's like, you know, you're getting a bit more density in some of that, but you know, the number of new starts, it's just not keeping up with the demand of people pouring in. And when you just look at the city, like, you know, we're still not Vancouver, Toronto levels, but we're still like, we're a big, good city as a whole.
I just looked up like percentage of immigrants that go to Alberta, and it's 11%. I know Toronto's somewhere around like 42%, or Ontario's like 50%, and Toronto's like 42%, right? So obviously the rest probably go to BC.
Montreal.
Montreal. Some people go there. But anyways,
that's
for another show. So I think that a lot of the growth must be like inter-migration. Like a lot of the growth must be coming from other provinces. So I imagine when Dara asked that question, like most of the people that you're seeing, like they're not from other countries. They're from Ontario and other parts of Canada. Is that right?
Probably, and other countries.
And I think it's both, right? But like, I think so within Canada, people are seeing that. And I think even Alberta had a bit of like that Texas, Florida vibe through COVID. Right. Of all the provinces we kind of had.
Right.
And so I think that appealed, you know, to some people. I think that had a good appeal of like where our country maybe is going and where people are seeing it. And then saying like, at least this province is like wanting to keep freedoms, keep people a little bit more
separate,
keep our government more in check. Right.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that. So what I want to ask you about is, I guess yesterday or the day before, your premier invited what's his name? Tucker Carlson into your city. And it was a pretty big event, a crazy showing. A lot of people are not pleased. Like we were talking about, earlier, who
would that
talking
be?
About?
Why would someone be not pleased about that?
Right. Like the country's, you seem to be a little younger, but, I don't know if you remember when this was a good country. And it was a good place to live. You're in Calgary, so maybe you have a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
But this used to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful country, and it has definitely lost a step lately. And although it's a strange place to get this message from Tucker Carlson, it seems like there is definitely something bubbling below the surface again. It sounds like there's a new trucker convoy hitting Parliament on February 17th, TK. I'm sure you're fully aware and ready to go.
I've already got like my schedule.
You got
clear.
Your tickets. You got your plans.
I'm gonna go buy a truck just to do it.
Tucker Carlson's not helping if we're trying to not have an uprising here in Canada. What's the mood like out there, especially after that rally? I mean, it felt to me, just seeing it, that Tucker was trying to get a little civil war, a little argument going on
there.
Here, a little instigation.
Were
you there?
I think like Tucker's a big proponent of free speech, and so am I. And I think we're losing that in Canada. So anyone that's pushing that, whether they're from Canada or the US, people need to hear it. And so if our government has an issue with it, then you know, put Trudeau and Tucker on a debate stage and let them talk about it.
Oh my God. Can you imagine that?
Please do it.
Oh, what a great. So
the whole trucker convoy thing was ruled unconstitutional, the use of the Emergencies Act. Like, do you guys think anything's really going to happen here? Like,
I don't, but you know, yeah. I don't, because I don't think our government will be held accountable, and they, you know, they, why, like, who will? Who would hold them accountable, right?
What should happen?
Mm-hmm. I think we should just do an election for now and just see where the people stand, you know, and why not, right? I think there's a clear outcry for it. So just run an election and see where we're at.
It's so funny when people complain about doing another election. They say, do you know how much an election's going to cost the taxpayers? Do you know exactly what this entails? But then you look at like how much money the government wastes, and it's like 100 times more than any election has ever cost.
Yeah. Kind of important too.
It's like, we should just do elections every year. Just be like, listen, man, keep your power. Don't screw it up.
It's a Twitter poll. But just make a Twitter poll.
Confidence vote. And like, realistically, in a digital age with, you know, blockchain and that, would it be that hard to implement a system where I could, as a household, just confidence vote my local, provincial, and federal, like, people,
everything,
right?
Like, yeah,
everything. Right?
Just have a color. And if I'm saying, hey, no,
yeah,
and everyone else is saying no, maybe we need to have a public forum about it and have an election again. Like, as simple as that.
Yeah,
you know, super simple.
You have like a code, right? So it's just like blue, red, and like green. And so it's like blue means one party, red means the other party, green means the other party. And so you just like select what color your household agrees on, and you just leave it there. And then, you know, when you guys are feeling
party
like
system,
things need to change, you select a new color. And then all of a sudden they go, wow, you know, like, we used to have a lot more red in those houses. Now
no
we better
parties.
Call an election. It's
no parties.
Online.
Just like
even
who
just
you
having,
agree
even
with.
Just having a system, though, that could have a pulse of where the people are, I think would be valuable enough that it would at least keep people more honest. Yeah. Because like, what is the accountability? Somebody gets elected, our mayor gets elected, Jody Gondek, and she declares a public state of climate emergency day one. She didn't have that on her platform. Now we as taxpayers foot a bill for her, you know, quite honestly, that's a radical belief. Like whether or not you believe in climate change, for her to go and say, this is now our problem to address and pay for. That's wrong.
It's crazy, though.
And
crazy.
It's like Calgary has to take the brunt of it just because of all the energy. Like, we need you guys.
Yeah, you
we
guys are the only ones who
do
produce.
Not go anywhere, please.
Yeah.
Don't.
And that's
like,
where, that's where we're getting upset with you guys, because like out east, we're like, guys, come on. We've been voting blue here. We've been doing the trying to get our like look listen. Leverage what our country's made of and resources and.
We're the pimps.
You guys
okay?
are letting us down. So.
We're the pimps. Yeah, you guys just get in line out there and get that oil out of the ground, lickety split, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Once, anyways, once Calgary becomes like a big part, like once Alberta is able to be valid, and I mean this, I'm not just saying this to you know, gas you up here, but once Calgary is, Alberta is realized as being the province that it is with the energy and the resources that we have there, I think that we're going to start to see the country come back into, you know, the global stage in a much better light. But until then,
Canada,
I feel like we had someone else from Alberta and they're explaining it a lot better than I can, but basically the federal government has been sticking it to Alberta for like ever in every single way they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And you guys,
and
just
Saskatchewan.
You guys just have to take it. No one even talks about Saskatchewan. They don't even like acknowledge Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan's like the little brother at the party that you keep sending back down into the basement because no one wants to talk to him. But again, they got lots of good stuff over there too, right? We've had a Saskatchewan agents on there.
Yeah. Lots
like
of good stuff.
We undervalue.
I lived in Saskatchewan too, and tons. Like, it's a great province filled with great people, like great people. Right. So
100%.
Yeah. See, it's just that Manitoba and Yukon. If we could get rid of those guys, we'd have a great bunch of provinces
are all
here
in Toronto.
Across
the
board.
Families are all in Toronto, and then like there's a couple in that other French-speaking province that we won't talk about. But
well,
whatever.
Mr. Cody, it was a pleasure to meet you. We really
thank
appreciate
you guys for having
your time.
Me. It's cool.
It was a good time. Cool to be on. Well, hope to speak to you again sometime. And thanks so much. If you want to give yourself a little last-second plug there, where we can find you online.
Hopefully just search Calgary Real Estate Agent on like Instagram, YouTube, calgaryrealestateagent.net or repyyc.com. Thanks, guys.
Wonderful. Thank you so much and have a great day, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Look at us. Hey, just shuffling around guessing. We got so many guests, we don't know what to do.
We don't know what to do.
We got to bring another in. We got to have a little waiting room going on.
Yeah, we didn't even ask anybody to subscribe to anything yet. Like, listen, it's been a long time. So if you're still here, you know what to do. We don't have to tell you to press that subscribe button to tell you to press the subscribe button. Now, do we?
We need to tell them. Like, that's the problem.
Maybe that's the problem. Is
we don't understand what happens is when you subscribe. All right.
Their finger.
It means that all the content that you want to see more of will be delivered directly to you so that you can benefit from it. When you don't subscribe, YouTube finds all these little ways to be able to distract you and give you a bunch of stuff you don't want to know about.
Don't want to know about.
Subscribe. That's why you listen.
Subscribe. Ask for a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Get a t-shirt.
Listen, t-shirts right now are going, they're $20. Like, really, what are you going to spend $20
all
on
for today? Charity.
And it's going to be going to charity and
all
the
charity.
Canada Post
Canada
shipping
Post.
Costs.
That's right.
We'll even send it to the States. We will do international. Even if it's more than $20, we'll pay it.
Yeah.
Wherever you need. Just send the $20 in your address.
That's it.
Get the shirt. We got kid sizes. So like a kid
basically
size.
Basically all.
Like a small teenager, maybe 12-year-old kind of size. And then we got like
Asian
a woman's
boy.
Side.
Yeah.
Probably like a typical, like, I don't want to say typical, sorry.
Not typical.
Like a
atypical.
Woman who normally would wear women's size clothes.
Like a tight shirt. God, a really tight shirt.
It got worse.
This is horrible, TK.
Then I got like a men's medium. So if you wear medium normally or you wear large men's normally, we got shirts for you.
We got the shirt for you.
Sorry, I don't.
Come on down to Crazy TK's. Get your shirts and your sexual innuendos for free. Here we go. All right, TK. So this next guest of ours, actually, I didn't even get to tell you any good news. I think at the start, you were just blabbering on the whole time. Like last week when you said, hey, Daryl, what's new this week? And you continued to talk for the next 10 minutes. So, TK, can I just tell you, because I'm really excited. And I forgot how excited I was until I flipped my page over and realized, oh, those are the notes from the meeting I had with the city today. Holy cow, TK, I'm excited. The city. Okay, you should be excited. Everybody you know should be excited. Everybody out there, you guys should be excited because this deal is just so wonderful and so fun because the city is like, yeah, we love it. We love it. We would like you to do this. We have a couple little changes. Nothing crazy. I feel like they had blank pages coming into the meeting and they all just said like, we got to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's just say something.
Yeah. So do you think maybe that brick can be a little darker?
No. They wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare insult our wonderful architect. The whole team, we regrouped after the meeting on a separate meeting. And we were all like, what? Remember last time I was like so shocked also? It's like, what the hell's going on here? All young. Okay. All young, all reasonable, all totally on board with just getting this thing done and being reasonable, like thinking about what the neighborhood
if you can sell those
really
condos,
needs.
Build them. That's basically what they're saying.
What if you need this in order to sell them?
If you can actually
area?
Build them and people will live in them, okay, we're in.
And we started off the meeting where the city planner goes, Daryl, are you recording this for the radio? I guess she thought maybe either we're on the radio or she just saw my mic and thought
I was
on
the radio this week. You were on the radio a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, whatever. It was the radio.
But I wish. So my answer was that like, I didn't want to be the one who looks like an idiot. So I'll refrain. Right. As much as I would love to document the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the city would have looked really great if I recorded that and played that for people, because this is a new reality, TK. This is a new reality for the planning in Toronto. And I don't know, other developers out there, if you let me know, like, are you noticing the same thing? Because my architect was totally shocked. Like, and he does a lot of work in this city. And my planner, who all of you know, Mr. Greg Ewens, he was a little concerned going into the meeting. And I was like, I think we're good. Like, they were really cool last time. I can't imagine them not being cool this time. TK, the wind is shifting. The wind is shifted, shifting, and shifting.
The issue is, you know, people, they talk to the city, and then the city says, look, we're going to let you do this. And I'm sure they did this in the past as well. And I know sometimes it would change. But if you built a little tiny dinky building that they wanted you to, they probably would have had the same type of responses. But everyone was like, no, this doesn't make sense. And the city had the wrong mindset. And so therefore, it never made sense for the builder to do what the city wanted. But now the mindset of the city's changed. And so you're
going there. The perspective, not even the mindset, the perspective.
It has changed.
Yeah, because you're talking about going from people that owned their own house and had that, like, you know, normal life where they made money, went to school, made money, had a good job, got a house, had a house, and could care about the character of the neighborhood because they didn't have to buy a house, right? And even their kids could afford houses. But now this room of kids,
these planners are much younger, sharing rooms, and they're going, we need to do something about this.
We got to do something. And all these guys just left and went to private companies in COVID, and it's our time to shine. I'm telling you,
we're building.
I really hope they're doing this on all the downtown sites and on all the other sites, and that it was like lovely to deal with them. So anyways, if anybody from the city of Toronto is listening, something is great over there. And I've been complaining for years, and I am so appreciative of the meeting that we had today. It was wonderful. And, hopefully it continues. And next time I'm not like freaking out about how ridiculous they were, because that could still happen. Anyways, we have somebody else coming on the show, TK.
Bring him on.
And he's from Canada, but he's not living here anymore. And he is not pleased with the way things are going here in this country.
I want to know.
He sent me an email and
he said, come on the show. That's our style.
And we were you know what?
Come on the show. We're going to talk to you and figure out what's going on. See if we can win him back.
Let's investigate and see what's going on. Hello, Mr. Dave Stach. Stach?
Hello there.
Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Awesome. Well, right. Mr. Stach.
Nice and clear. Good connection. How are you, Dave?
Yep. Oh, it's just wonderful. Everything's wonderful. I moved from, I'm being a little bit facetious, but I moved from Canada to Ecuador about almost 5 months ago.
Ecuador. Oh. See, we didn't only go to Calgary today, TK. Do we have an Ecuadorian background? Is that how you say it?
Well, we're going to stay in Calgary for you, Dave. Where were you where were you in Canada before?
I'm originally from Windsor, Ontario, but I lived all over the place in Canada in the past 10 years or so. But
Did you ever live in Calgary?
No, but I was living in Gatineau for the past 3.5 years before I moved here.
So why all the movement? What's going on?
Well, man, it's like it's craziness. I mean, there's many factors in people's lives that makes them do what they do, right? But a big factor was the work market and the real estate market, especially. It's you're trying to find a place to live, and you're paying an arm and a leg for a place to live. Mm-hmm. And if you do find a place, and because I wasn't sure about where I was working, the work situation, I would rent a room, and then I would find out maybe about 40% of the time, it was not a very good situation, but 40% of the time. So there'd be like thefts and that kind of thing going on, and very difficult situations.
So tough situation. So you're trying to make ends meet. You're trying to make your life better. You're looking at all the options. You're going from Windsor, you're going to Gatineau, you got all these different locations. Why Ecuador?
It's better weather here, and they use the U.S. dollar, and they don't tax you as high here in Ecuador compared to Canada.
So you're working there?
I'm trying to start an online health consultation operation to help people with their health. Like, I also had some health problems, and a lot of people do, and they don't know what to do. They only go to the doctor, so-called doctor, and that's their training in 10 minutes is just to address the symptoms, right? And that's kind of like what the politicians are doing.
Treating symptoms. Okay, hold on. Before we bounce too far into things, what do you do for work?
Right now, I'm trying to become a healthcare consultant to help people with their health.
Okay, so before this, what were you doing that was, you know, giving you a tough time to afford where you were and had you bounce around?
Mainly information technology. It was mainly that. And so doing that kind of work, I was trying to explore the world and trying to make sense of things, and especially IT. And I kind of said to myself, I don't want to be in this anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that whole industry got decimated by India and kind of the internet and, you know, everybody outsourcing a lot of that to other countries, right?
Yeah. And still the colleges and the politicians still say tech, 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 tech. They keep repeating this stuff. mainly, I think, to import more people to come into Canada, also to offshore more work as well.
Well, look at all the AI stuff now that's getting replaced, right? So there's a ton of jobs that kids are working really hard to do that will no longer be that useful. Now, those skills will still be translated into other things because they're young and whatever else. But when you're 40 and that's what you were relying on, and then all of a sudden you're replaced by a robot, it's kind of kicking the teeth, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, what kind of stuff was happening in Canada? Like, what's like to leave? Like, come on, there's a lot of people, like, you know, job markets and living situations, like that's, you know, common. I'd say everybody has some sort of employment or living situation issue at one point in their life. What makes you leave the country that you're born and raised in?
Well, the past 4 years, that was what did it for me. But I saw this stuff coming many years, more than 10 years ago. And people around me were, you know, they're just saying to me, Dave, you're that's cuckoo crazy. This will never happen in Canada.
So 10 years ago, take us back to crazy land. And 10 years ago, what was crazy on your radar? No, you're not crazy, obviously.
I said, we love crazy. We love hearing that.
Just call him crazy right to his face?
You know how many things I've
pressed the mute button, bro?
Daryl has got his ideas, and I have been really, you know, come on, Daryl. Like,
why do you think he emailed me, for God's sake?
We're trying to get subscribers here, you know? But then some of the things that he talks about, there's some truth to him. Anyways.
There's a lot of truth over here. But so, Dave, okay. So you are not happy with this country. You have decided to leave the country. You have health issues. And in a country that's known for its health care, it seems odd that you would leave this wonderful healthcare for Ecuador.
No, I don't have health issues anymore. That was in the past, right? Wow. So I'm trying to help people with that kind of thing now. So that's the thing. So
this is a huge topic,
but go ahead.
Your friends, like you were telling your friends 10 years ago, like, oh, Canada's gonna be what? It's gonna be run by Fidel Castro's son. And that he's going to make us all lock down, and that he's going to break up our protests using the Emergencies Act unconstitutionally.
Or did,
like,
you see it,
give me the example of some of the things that you knew about before they happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you search my name online in newspapers, I was writing about it. I was saying they're not protecting us from what's coming, and these policy documents that they was already been written about by the big think tanks. So anyway, I was telling people about that. Like what I thought was going to happen, and they're just thinking, oh no, it can't happen, not in Canada, it can't happen here, it only happens over there, right?
Yeah. So were you at the trucker rally last time?
Yeah, I was there almost every day. Yeah,
you were every day. Oh yeah. God, okay. Nice. So hold on,
what was that like?
There we go.
We're organizing another one if you want to come back.
I would love to, but there was no violence as they were claiming. There might have been some extremists there that might have been paid to disrupt things, which always happens in any kind of event like this, but what I saw there was nothing like the media was claiming. So I haven't trusted the media, and I haven't watched TV on a regular basis in about more than 20 years. So that just shows you, it's just like this stuff is just a lot of the messages we get in the media are just totally inaccurate.
Right.
Is there anything that you predicted though, Dave? Like, I'm trying to get a clear picture here. Like, what is it that you were talking about and writing about where it was like, these are the things that Canada's going to happen. And then all of a sudden it was like, now everyone knows you are onto something.
Well, it's a systems approach. You have to look at things through in a systems approach. So you look at the real estate market, especially what was happening. They were there was a lot of so-called experts more than 10 years ago saying that the housing market was overheated. It was more than 10 years ago.
Okay.
So you put all these things together, and you might watch. There's famous so-called conspiracy theorists online. There's a bunch of names out there. You just have to read these people, and you'll see what and some of
the
more.
So you're talking about the fact that housing prices have come down, and so that was something that you were always saying was, "Hey, housing prices are going to come down one day."
They have to. They have to. They obviously have to.
Have they come down?
I think. Overall, in some bigger markets, they have, but...
Yeah. But I mean, right now, unaffordability is actually at an all-time high, right? Yeah. And so because of interest rates and the way incomes are in prices, like, that's usually how we base, you know, the markets on. Like, you say, okay, like, is this affordable based on everyone's income? Can you afford to live in these houses? And 10 years ago, we would say, no, this is crazy. It's too high. And then it got worse. And then the interest rates went up and prices came down a little bit. And then it got even worse because the monthly payments now are what's holding everyone back
and causing most of the inflation.
Are you forecasting further changes to our affordability? Like, do you feel like we're going to start to see the market correct even further? Or is that something that you're not really paying attention to right now?
I'm paying attention to it. It's a big topic, but there's a lot of things happening. I think we're going to, unfortunately, the sad part is I think we're going to see more public sector involvement in the housing industry when it's a lot of the politicians were keeping like the Bank of Canada was they play God with our lives. So all these manipulations that they've been enacting over the past 10, 15 years, it's just starting to come home to roost now. Trying to suppress things, trying to suppress all kinds of things, mainly for political gain, is starting to come home to roost now. And now they're making all these drastic changes. And now we're starting to see more mentions of the World Economic Forum as well.
What are your thoughts on WEF? Are we getting further? I was told by the sources that I have, which is some YouTube video, that Trump gaining power is going to be a hit to the WEF, and that they're going to try to do everything they can to stop it.
Yeah, I if you look at these names, some of the WEF founders came out publicly and said that one guy's name had DG, I can't remember his name, but his son came out and said his father came out against Klaus Schwab. So you can see they're starting to get upset with what the founders did, because they're going way overboard. So we're starting to see pushback.
What's overboard? Yeah, what is overboard? Is it like the immigration policies? What are they doing that's going overboard? I'm just trying to understand. I don't research these things.
TK's not like us, Dave. He's very, you know, he likes to not watch the same kind of things as us. He likes to, you know, be calm and have a
in front of me that are like, you know, things that I can actually.
He doesn't like to distract himself with all this scary shit. He likes to stay focused, right? So while you and I are watching Alex Jones for the last 20 years and freaking ourselves out, TK is selling real estate, and you know, but this is what's interesting, is there is a huge faction of most of the populace that has no idea.
Yeah,
at all what you're talking about. And even though you're being a little cryptic, I feel like I understand a lot of what you're saying.
So Daryl, give us the lowdown on it all. Come on.
Well, the lowdown, okay, it goes back way back. And this is like going back to like the pyramid times, okay? Like, this is how deep it goes, TK. You don't want to go down this rabbit hole.
First of all, let's start when were the pyramid times.
And UFOs.
I've been down the pyramid rabbit hole. And I don't know if we can nail that down to a date. But
it sounds funny, but it's not. It's not funny, TK. It's real. Okay. But the truth is, and it doesn't have to be your truth, but you know, the Wuhan lab leak has been proven to be true. The Biden laptop has been admitted to be true. You have a lot of people that all of a sudden think Trump might actually be the answer to the world's problems, which is really funny. And if you want to talk about Trump and you don't talk about the book, you know, that's written about Barron Trump, you know what I'm talking about, Dave? You know about that book? The time traveler stuff? No?
No, there's some of these things I prefer not to know.
Too deep there, Daryl.
Yeah,
you see, I mean, I can understand why.
Too deep. I flew past him on this one. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So that's for another show. So Dave, so you're helping people with their health now because you, I guess, figured out the secrets to life somehow along the way. What did you do to heal yourself and to kind of get motivated to start your own business out there in where are you again? Uruguay?
Ecuador.
Yeah. Are those two places close to each
other? They're near each other, but no. One's in Central America and the other one's in South America.
Okay, totally.
But there's a lot of European content in this country. But what started me on all this, I heard about these things, alternative health, like 30 years ago. My mother had health problems too. We all have health problems. We don't really know. There's a continuum of health that we all have, right? So we're just not aware that most of us, we have health problems we don't even know about. Just like a botanist would look at a plant as an individual, we don't get that from the medical system. We mainly only go to the doctor or hospital when we get sick, and we don't really have much help in preventing it or even treating it in a systems biology way. I don't even like to use the word natural or holistic because those words have been overused.
Okay. So you're like naturopathic type of
Yeah, I don't even like using that word either, because there's a lot of restrictions that practitioners in Canada have. Yeah. And Canada is very over-regulated, and now they want to bring more regulations into places like real estate. This is cuckoo. Oh,
I know.
We got all these regulations
these days that are killing us.
What are the regulations? Yeah. They don't want just people on YouTube telling people how to, you know, their medical kind of treatments and helping them out with that kind of thing?
Yeah, you're right about that. But there's a heavy amount of dissuaders out there. They give you false information, like they get you into the keto diet, they get you into different diets, different fads, and then people say, oh, it's true that's not good for long term, but it's not good for everyone. And the main point is you need an individual analysis of your body and lifestyle, the foundational components of your body. Many doctors are not even trained in nutrition, but they're not trained in cellular nutrition. I heard that over and over the years, but I never knew what that meant. And it's
fasting diet. That's the one I like, because I want to eat whatever I want, and I'm really just going to skip breakfast. That's pretty much my diet.
That's a very general method of looking at things, and that's what I used to try too, and things were still getting better. Yeah. And I was just wondering why this is going on. But if you look at the, and I'm not bashing doctors, most of them are well-meaning people, but they don't have the support that they need to help people properly.
That is for sure.
We need more doctors. That's the one thing too in this country, is like, it is so hard. My little sister's trying to become a doctor right now, and for her to get accepted in school is like really, really, really difficult. And there's other people who are getting accepted who are definitely 100% not going to be a doctor here in Canada. And then there's other people who, like, you know, are maybe they're like not as qualified, or like maybe they'll drop out or whatever it is. Or maybe they're just not as nice, you know, because she's a really nice person. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we need more like med schools. We got to get people to become doctors, because saying that, you know, you're a doctor and providing like health care and all that kind of stuff is great. And I'm sure there's lots of good advice that you would give, Dave. But at the end of the day, in Canada, you have to be a licensed medical practitioner in order to be able to give that advice, because that's just the law. I mean, that's
licensed here. You can't be licensed somewhere else and bring it here, which is
so we need to get
stupid.
More people with those licenses. Like at the end of the day, you know, follow the rules, but you gotta, like, how do we get more people treating people?
I don't know how medicine can be different in India than here. Like, why doesn't it just transfer over their license from wherever
the
hell they are?
They're working on humans over there.
Same fucking
body.
Don't
they have like the same amount of body parts as we do? Like, I don't get it.
Well, so Dave sent me a video about a homeless guy here, 27-year-old guy freezing to death, living in a tent.
Must be in Canada.
In Scarborough, nonetheless, yeah.
Scarborough, okay.
But freezing to death,
complaining.
Good place
to be, though, just for anybody looking by.
Well, he's complaining that, you know, he couldn't get into the hotels, but all these other guys could get in the hotels. And so, Dave, you felt the need to send me that. Why was that part of the package?
Oh, it's more people need to see the reality of Canada, especially people that want to immigrate to Canada. And I see people here, I see people here in Ecuador all the time. They say they want to move there. And I say, well, I don't know why you want to move there now. Maybe 30 years ago, it was a good place, but
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're warning people not to
now.
I'm warning people to do their own research, because there's different circumstances, right? But you know, own research, because many people, when they talk to me, they just give me the rosy side of what they see on an advertisement on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know? Propaganda.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was in the Southern Caribbean not too long ago, and Venezuela is really close. And Venezuela's got a lot of issues. And there's a few other countries in South America that have a lot of issues. And I can honestly say to you that I'd much rather live in Canada than any of those places 365 days a year. But I don't really know much about Ecuador. And using the US dollar, I like the sounds of that. You know, especially if you're making money there. Sure. But again, so I don't really have many ideas on, you know, your choice to move to Ecuador and whether it's good or not. But I can tell you wholeheartedly that there's a ton of people living in other parts of the world where they would be much better off living in Canada. I can guarantee that. But as a Canadian, when we're living here for so long and we're used to what Canada was 30 years ago, no doubt about it, it was better. And you've only been there a few months. So, you know, maybe we can follow up with you again in like a couple of years and say like, hey, Dave, are things going well for you or not?
Yeah.
Because there are challenges that sometimes, you know, the grass isn't always greener. You know, you go there and all of a sudden you think, I had things pretty good where I was, and that the simple things in life were always available to me, where here, you know, these guys aren't treating me so good when they got that, you know, rifle shoved in my mouth, right? I don't know if that happens in Ecuador or not, but
they don't have
places out there where things like that happen.
Do they have tent cities in Ecuador?
Not that I have seen, no. But even if they do have tent cities, at least you won't freeze to death here. The weather here, at least in the capital city, the weather every day is usually around 70 degrees Fahrenheit every day. At night, it goes maybe to 9 degrees Fahrenheit. So there's no way you'd freeze to death.
So we just solved it right here, TK, because they're spending a lot of our tax dollars putting people up in hotels. All they have to do is get a plane ticket for them to Ecuador, and yeah, we got a big problem solved, right?
Yeah.
They don't need a tent. It's warm. They can find a picnic table. Give them a tent
anyways. It's like a bonus, like bench. Door price. You know?
Okay. I got one last question for you, and I don't know if you're following this story, but I think it makes a difference to people's diets, at least in Canada, because we all know how bad wheat is for us, right? Like it doesn't, it's not good for the digestive system. And so as part of the carbon emissions program, they have basically declared war on wood burning ovens in the pizza parlors. TK, did you hear about this? We're not going to be able to eat.
Italians are going to be upset not to get their wood burning
pizzas off the menu. This is what they're doing to help us with the climate change. What do you think about that, Dave? Have you heard about that?
This is another big topic. There's many ways to look at a lot of things, but do we really trust a group of politicians to take? They basically hijacked the environmental movement, and then they've turned people's attention to climate change. Yes. Just two words. When now maybe 50 years ago it was global warming, and it just keeps changing. So and now they want to apply more taxes.
Ozone.
You gotta fight the hole in the ozone.
Don't use hairspray anymore.
Yeah.
Fucking up the whole ozone.
Hey.
It's like using a blunt instrument, and we should be distributing decision making instead of centralizing it.
Distributing it, it keeps coming back to this, DK. Yeah. This is the second guest today that came up with the online
just
voting.
Make all the decisions, guys. What should we send $100 million to that country because they're, you know, going to war? Should we, you know, have an election or not? Should we, you know, put more money into healthcare? Just vote it out. Use your iPhone.
What the hell?
Face recognition and then be like, yes, no.
This is assuming you believe the voting is real.
Two-time authentication factor. We could make this work.
Now voting could be real. If you had a double authentication type process, now we got nothing to worry about anymore. No hijacking that system. Yeah. But if you did it like as part of blockchain, like Cody was saying earlier, and everybody had one coin that they could vote on everything with, not a CBDC, just the voting coin, right? And everybody everybody saw what you voted on and how you voted. Now we're talking.
That's a little bit crazy. What then is people the can intimidate shit? Other people.
Why does it got to
be
secret?
No. But at least a system.
Public, if you can't vote for something in public, then you shouldn't be voting that way.
No, that's good. That's what happens in those countries where everybody, where it's like 100%, like North Korea, you know?
Yeah, North Korea, they're like, which way are you voting? I just want to make sure you're voting.
It's not
the
a North Korean accent.
Before you go in. That's not North Korean?
It's not North Korean. Just I'll for the people who are watching or are not watching and who are listening, that was Borat again.
Parting words, Mr. Statch, because we do have to wrap up now. It's been the longest episode of all time, I think.
You got me. I would say be careful what you're doing in Canada, because try to stay where you are. And if you need to go try to get help from other family members of the community, because there's a lot of people struggling right now. Yeah.
A lot of people struggling.
It's been like this for 20 years, but not as bad. But
Dave, we wish you the best in Ecuador. We hope that your healthcare business, you know, does everything that you want it to. And we really appreciate you coming on the show today.
There's going to be a link to his website down below in the description. And Dave, you have a good time out there, and you stay in touch, mister.
Thank you. See you later.
We'll see you soon. Thank you. What a banger this was. We went all around the world today.
We're in Calgary. We're in Ecuador.
Very insightful. Everybody was super insightful. I feel like I learned a lot.
All I know is the Canadian real estate show is about more than real estate here, guys.
Today it was about more than real estate.
Community wearing the same shirts.
About a community wearing the same shirts.
That if you send us $20 with your address, you're getting a shirt. Don't you want to wear this shirt? Come on, I got boxes of this stuff at home here. I can't let them sit around here forever. It's taking.
Is there more than the ones I have here?
I gave you a fraction of the ones I gave you.
Oh, no. God, that's nothing. You just gave me the really big ones.
I gave you a variety so that you've got some options to give to your people, and I'm going to give them to my people and send things out.
Gigantic. Well, TK, I think we got somewhere today. I don't know where, but we got somewhere. That's for sure.
It was a good show.
I had a lot of fun.
We learned some things.
I feel like we didn't really talk in about real estate.
There wasn't a lot of real estate going on.
Not a lot of real estate. Sorry, guys. But not that anybody's still listening. We could just be sitting there going, ooga booga, ooga booga, chicka laga daga, booga dooga.
And nobody
would know the difference.
So, that's all I got, Daryl.
Yeah, me too. I'm out.
I'll see you next week.
All right.